So, at the present moment, in our preaching, I can show you, I've brought a couple of very wonderful presentations. I have the latest version of Hare Krishna World by ITV, and that's an hour and a half. Actually, it's more than an hour and a half. It's 2 50-minute tapes on the activities of ISKCON around the world. And it moves very fast. It's like it's bam, bam, you know, like one thing after another. So while watching that, you get a little seasick. But you also realize that there are many things that are happening in ISKCON all over the world. It's a very dynamic organization, and there are many talented devotees who are working sincerely and achieving nice results. Then I also have the full version of the ISKCON Interactive, which is 8.5 hours of video, slides, and text on ISKCON and the achievements. So there's a lot happening, and so on the other side, we are attacked by Maya because, you know, we're getting results, we're doing good preaching work, and people's lives are being affected. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has written a very nice book on leadership, and he is mixing with some of the biggest leadership gurus in the USA, and they're asking him questions about problems that they face in their lives, just like the President of the United States, who's having a lot of problems in his life, from someone named Monica. So we also have our problems with Monica, different Monica. So the point is that how do we understand all of these, on the one side, growth and tremendous activities? The Prime Minister of India speaks at the opening of our temple. The President of India speaks at the opening of our Bangalore temple and glorifies ISKCON like anything, and yet some of our leading devotees have some spiritual problem. Okay, so this always happens to me. Maybe it happens to other sannyasis and preachers too, but I know it always happens to me. There's some controversial issue, and I come to a temple, and Maharaj, would you like to give the class tomorrow? Okay. Then I get to the verse, and the verse, just by providence, just by accident, is a very heavy verse dealing with the controversy at hand, like if there's a big war going on, you know, women's issues or something, then I'll get a verse that says, you know, women are less intelligent, or I say, why me? So, and I have to try to explain things, you know, nicely so everybody's happy. So what I found here was the same thing. I hit the Bhagavatam class, and there it was, Canto 7, Chapter 15, text number 27. I instructions for civilized human beings. So I thought, let me make a presentation on the verse to try to explain a little bit more than I could in 45 minutes, because I think it's an issue that affects every one of us. Every one of us. And then the other thing is that my birthday's coming up in a few days, and oh my God, you know, I get this verse, controversy, and here I'm going to accept worship on my birthday. And I thought, what is going on? The same thing again, why me? So I thought I'd have to make a presentation. So we spent part of yesterday and many hours today making a presentation, which, you know, I thought this will convince everybody, they'll be happy, and then the projector doesn't work. But anyway, by Christmas grace, it's not working. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the verse from the Bhagavatam, we'll go over a little bit the philosophy here, and then I'm going to go over another issue or an aspect of the same topic. And again, we don't have so much time, but I'll try to cover as much of this as I can. And maybe over the next couple of days we'll, you know, other verses will come up also. But it's a subject that we all need to understand, using our God-given intelligence, because it affects our lives. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is the master of all other living entities and of material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyasa. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. Okay, responsibly, please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna,
the Supreme Gopal.
The example of Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appropriate in regard to understanding the spiritual master. The spiritual master is called Sevaka Bhagavan, the servitor personality of Godhead. And Krishna is called Sevya Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead who is to be worshipped. The spiritual master is the worshipper God, whereas the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the worshipable God. This is the difference between the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. So, all of you, or many of you, have read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. How many of you have read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita? Probably one of the first books you read. It was a story and it was interesting. Right? Okay, you read it too. In Slovenia, right? Okay. So, you remember, in the very early days at 26 Second Avenue, Srila Prabhupada was training the first devotees who came, and he was talking about initiation. So, the devotees were curious, what is this initiation? So then, although Prabhupada had been telling them that Krishna is God, and any human being who says that he is God
G-O-D. He is actually dog, D-O-G. Turn it around, the letters. That no man can say that he is God. Although he was saying that over and over again, when someone said, what is the meaning of initiation? Prabhupada said that initiation means that you agree to worship the spiritual master as God. And then he turned around and walked away. So that was a big shock for everyone. But here is a little clearly explained that the spiritual master is accepting the position of Krishna's representative. And just as in India, Prabhupada was familiar with India, but in every country of the British Commonwealth, they would send the viceroy, especially in India, they sent the viceroy, who was the king's representative. And the Indians, and Prabhupada remembered in his lifetime, the Indians would worship the viceroy just as if they were worshiping the king. He would get great service, he would go through many ceremonies and celebrations with great opulence and big, you know, a lot, making a lot to do, making a big fuss over this person. He was not the king, but he was the king's representative. So the people, in order to impress the king of their loyalty to the king, they worshipped his representative. So the spiritual master, Prabhupada is saying, is the worshipper, God. And that's the difference. Krishna is the worshipable God. Another point. Bhagavad Gita, which constitutes the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is presented by the spiritual master as it is without deviation. Therefore, the absolute truth is present in the spiritual master. As clearly stated in text 26, Jnana Deepa Prade, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives real knowledge to the entire world, and the spiritual master, as the representative of the Supreme Godhead, carries the message throughout the world. Therefore, on the absolute platform, there is no difference between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Krishna has a message for us. He wants to guide us how to get out from this material world. At every moment, we have to do the right things. We have to act in Krishna consciousness every day, 24 hours a day. It's like one of those video games where you're driving in your video game car, and the car's moving on the road. How many of you have played video games? Okay, come on, be honest. Okay. Not many girls, but all the boys. Okay. So your car's going down the road, and so many things come, like a tree comes in the middle of the road, and you have to turn, and then all of a sudden six elephants are on the road, and I don't know why. I've never played one of those games, so I don't know, but I've seen them. I wanted to play, but I was a sannyasi. Only for brahmacharis. You can check my computer. I don't have any games at all. I play much bigger games. But you've got to be ready for anything. At any moment, anything could happen. So, the spiritual master, as the representative of Krishna, he's carrying, Krishna's sending his message to us, but through the spiritual master. And on the absolute platform, there's actually no difference. The spiritual master is speaking the same thing, and it's there in the scripture. And therefore, Prabhupada says here, if someone considers the Supreme Personality of Krishna, or Lord Ramchandra, to be an ordinary human being, this does not mean that the Lord becomes an ordinary human being. Similarly, if the family members of the spiritual master is a bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being, this does not mean that he becomes an ordinary human being. So, here's another distinction. The family members, they remember the spiritual master when he ran around in diapers and passed urine on the floor. They remember him, his mother remembers him when he was just, you know, a little baby, crying and screaming. And now all of a sudden her little baby has become Bhagavan. She doesn't have that vision. So there's a distinction between here also between the God brothers of the spiritual master and the disciples of the spiritual master. Because the God brothers have been with him from the day he joined. They remember him when he was Bhakta so-and-so and, you know, used to fight with the temple commander and used to steal maha sweets and, you know, all those things that we all do. When he used to get tired on Sankirtan and come back or whatever it is, they remember him in that way. So they can relate to him on the relative platform. But the disciple is, it is his duty to see the spiritual master as the representative of Krishna. And Krishna says, I will come to you through my representative. You go find my representative. Krishna doesn't say that every person whose last name starts with the letter C is my representative, or, you know, all my representatives will be born in Ljubljana, or... He says, you go out and find my representative. I'm gonna come, I'm gonna talk to you through my representative. Now it's your duty to find me. So, there is the importance, the disciple, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There is an element where the disciple has to see where he is getting inspiration in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, the family members of the spiritual master, if they see him as an ordinary person, it doesn't mean that he's become an ordinary person, especially for the disciple. They would have said, Arche Vishnu Shila Dir Guru Shu Naramadir Vaishnave Jati Bhuti. So one very elevated God brother of Srila Prabhupada said that even the God brothers of the spiritual master in public will offer him respect. In private they may slap him on the face, but in public they will respect him because he has some upadhi. He has to maintain decorum. He has to maintain the, you know, the show. It's a very serious show, but it is something very real that has to be maintained for the disciples. The spiritual master is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one who is very serious about spiritual advancement must regard the spiritual master in this way. Now get this. This is important. The spiritual master is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one who is very serious about spiritual advancement must regard the spiritual master in this way. Even a slight deviation from this understanding can create disaster in the disciples' Vedic studies and austerities. Here's something that is really tough.
because we have a big institution and there are many spiritual masters, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that there are four things that are inconceivable, achintya shakti, and one of them is guru tattva. It is inconceivable, it's achintya shakti, because it's very mystical how initiation takes place, how by serving the spiritual master Krishna is pleased. And it is important, it's very important in our spiritual lives, but at the same time we've seen some of our spiritual leaders have difficulty and fall down, and this created havoc for some people. Other people who were more, let's say, balanced in their understanding, a balance between emotion, just like when one accepts a spiritual master. Basically, all the candidates that you can choose from, they're all preaching the same siksha, the same knowledge. They're using the same Bhagavad Gita, the same Srimad Bhagavatam, they're giving the same classes, they're using the same examples. Basically, you could take all the tape ministries in the world and probably come up with about 10 tapes and throw the rest away. Because it's all just basically the same thing. But, somehow or other, we find someone that, oh, he's attractive. I'm inspired. He is more impressive than these others. And by our personal preference, we choose someone from out of all of the disciples of Prabhupada, or all of the eligible preachers. We choose someone to be our siksha or diksha guru, because everything is a choice. You don't say, okay, like I remember once in San Francisco, it was Ratha Yatra time, and my Vaikuntha Pradarsha guru was Jayananda. And so we had, it was 1970, and it was Ratha Yatra time, and we had to cook a big feast for about 10,000 people. So we wanted to get, we used to, in those days we were very much fixed in the consciousness that everything belongs to Krishna, and we're Krishna's devotees, so we have the right to take everything for Krishna's service. We were quite young and immature, so we used to steal flowers, and you know, you do, public parks would all of a sudden be denuded. When we got caught, it was very embarrassing. But anyway, there was one field of apricots, and we went there. And we were going to pick all the apricots to make apricot chutney. So we didn't know what to do exactly, how we were going to do it, because we thought if we picked them and somebody may eat them. Anyway, it was decided that Jayananda would offer up the whole field. So he sat down, said his guy Adrian offered the whole field of it. I had many other lulas with Jayananda, who was a wonderful devotee. But it's not that we think, oh, let me just accept everybody. We choose, we make a choice, we discriminate from one to the other, and mostly it's based on sentiment, because, or it could be based on philosophical attraction also, but it is not easy to understand Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigye Na Bhujaya, to understand the internal sentiment of a pure devotee is it takes one to know one. It takes a pure devotee to understand that somebody else is a pure devotee. You can't tell by external circumstances. I did not know that Prabhupada was a pure devotee when I took initiation from him. I did not know that he was an Uttama Adhikari. He was the only thing available. We all just surrendered to Prabhupada because he was the only guru that we'd ever met like that. Later on, our faith was confirmed, but we had less understanding than members of ISKCON do now. But we actually need to go farther and understand this process more. So now I wanted to just give a little perspective on the, you can direct your attention to the wall here. And did you turn the standby off? Yeah? Okay. It takes a few minutes for standby to get off, I hope. Okay. You keep trying, playing with it. I'll just read from the paper. I wanted to put the slokas up on the board, but because it's good for you to meditate on it, but any of you want can get a copy of this paper. Did you try pressing the video thing? Press it twice, thrice. This, what I'm going to discuss right now, the question is, must the guru be an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava to be a bona fide Diksha Guru? Now, the verse which is often quoted is from the Nectar of Instruction. And the verse is, one should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of Uttama Adhikari. A neophyte Vaishnava, or Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform, can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform. And it should be understood that they cannot advance very well towards the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, disciples should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master. That's page 5 from the Nectar of Instruction. So, this has been a verse which has affected the way we have looked at our spiritual leaders. It is just a practical thing that without increasing the number of disciples, so many people are coming, without increasing the number of disciples, it's not possible to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. So our first conclusion was that, our spiritual masters are now Uttam Adhikari, or Uttam Bhagavat, because they're spiritual masters. Prabhupada appointed them, the first 11. So they must have now all of a sudden become Uttam Adhikari, because this verse says that they must be Uttama Adhikaris for devotees to make any advancement. But the fact is that if you consider it, and we'll go into words here, the word Uttama is used in different contexts. And the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describes pure devotional service, or Uttam Bhakti. Anyavilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Okay? When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, devotees are basically, you all know there's three classes, Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. And they're classified in terms of their faith, their shraddha. They're also classified according to their attachment and love for Krishna. But it is said about faith, shraddha, shabde, vishwas kare, sudrida, nischoy. Krishna bhakti koile, sarva karma kripto hoy. Someone who, and Prabhupada very, the other day I was listening to a tape, and Prabhupada quoted this verse, and he was saying, it is a very nice verse, that if someone has this faith, that by serving Krishna, everything will be taken care of. Sarva karma, all work, kripa hoy, will be done. All work will be done. That is faith. There's no other fear or anxiety. If I just serve God, if I just serve the Lord, then He will take full care of me. Just like, I don't know, she's not here today, but anyway, any little child, they always have complete faith in their parents. They don't think, oh, I better go out and get a job, or I won't get dinner tonight, or, you know. They know mommy and daddy will take care. And they play, you know, all day long, and, you know, they yell at their parents, and they seem to be just oblivious. Uh-oh. It works now. Okay. What are we at here? Muscles. Just take it right out of the way. Okay, we read that. You can go on. And the Avilasi Tashunyam, you can go on from there also. Yeah. What's that? Go on from there. Okay. This is where we are here. So the devotee has faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called shraddha. So this is uttam, one element of someone who's engaged in devotional service. Go ahead. Shraddhavan janna hoy bhakti adhikari uttam madhyam kanishtha shraddha anusari. A faithful devotee is truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. If one has full faith in Krishna and confidence in Him, one becomes eligible to discharge devotional service. Now, again here, the Sanskrit word is used, adhikar. Now we talk about uttama adhikar, but the actual meaning of adhikar is eligibility. It doesn't mean that necessarily one is perfect in that stage. It means he's eligible to enter onto that platform. So uttam, madhyam, and kanishtha adhikari, they actually possess different degrees of eligibility for pure devotional service, which is called uttama bhakti. And anyone who engages in uttama bhakti, he can be called a pure devotee because he has some degree of faith or shraddha in the process. And he can also give faith to others. So, the next one. A devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee. Now we hear this word pure devotee used a lot. And there's a lot of different descriptions of that. Sometimes we say that, you know, a Mahabhagavat, he's a pure devotee. But here's a very simple definition of a pure devotee. He believes that the Lord and his holy name are identical. And even though he may be in the neophyte stage, catch that, even though he may be in the neophyte stage, by his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. So, even a Kanista Adhikari, if he has that faith that Krishna and his holy name are identical, he can be called a pure devotee. If he's free from especially karma, jnana, anyadilasita sunyam, jnana, jnana karma, yanavritam, the desire for the fruit of results, the desire for speculation, mental speculation, etc. And his association, he can preach to others and change their lives. And that's basically what a guru does. He preaches and he changes people. Okay, next. One who has preliminary faith is called a Kanista or neophyte. A neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulative principles set down by the spiritual master. The pure devotee whose faith advances becomes a Madhyama Adhikari and an Uttama Adhikari. So, here we understand, and this is also quite important, that if you follow the process of Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't matter whether you're a Madhyama Adhikari or an Uttama Adhikari, because if you're following the process, you're going to reach the goal. And anyone who follows you will also reach the goal. Again, a senior Vaishnava in the Gaudiya Sampradaya said there are three kinds of spiritual master. One kind of spiritual master comes from the spiritual world. He's called Nitya Siddha. And he comes to this world and he tries to take us back to the spiritual world. Then there's another kind of spiritual master who has one foot in the material world and he has one foot in the spiritual world, but he's pointing to the spiritual world. And then there's another kind of spiritual master who has both feet in the material world. He, by sadhana, he has become advanced, but he has both feet in the material world, but he's pointing to the spiritual world. He's always pointing to the spiritual world. So all three of those categories are essentially on the same platform. They can be accepted as spiritual master, as pure devotees, because they're all pointing you to Krishna. So the primary quality here is called Swarup Lakshana. And a devotee is characterized by what is known as Krishnaika Sharana. Krishnaika Sharana means exclusively surrendered to Krishna. So if a devotee has the primary qualification of being surrendered and engaged in chanting the holy names of Krishna, he is to be considered a Vaishnava even if some of the secondary characteristics, which are called the Tattva Lakshana, are not manifested. And to criticize such a devotee is offensive. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Uttama Adhikari, next. Shastra Yukti Suni Puna Drita Shraddha Yana Uttama Adhikari Sehi Thara Ye Sansara. One who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures and has firm faith in Krishna is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. So these, again, these definitions of Uttama Adhikari are definitions of a person who is eligible to attain Uttam Bhakti. Just like when you get second initiation, it doesn't mean that you're automatically a brahmana. Oh, now I got my thread. Okay, I'm a brahmana now. I'm better than everyone. What it means is that you've shown sufficient faith in chanting the holy names and you've developed a little, some brahminical qualifications, Now you've been given the adhikar to advance further and actually demonstrate the life and activities of a brahmana. So in the same way, adhikari, uttam adhikari, simple definition. Okay, next one. Srila Prabhupada explains uttam adhikari in the nectar of devotion. He is very expert in the study of relevant scriptures. He is also expert in putting forth arguments in terms of those scriptures. He very nicely presents conclusions with perfect discretion in considering the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. He understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain the transcendental loving service of Krishna, and he knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. This first-class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scriptures. Thus, being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master himself, he is considered first class. The first class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority, and he attains firm faith in the scripture by understanding with all reason and arguments. When we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of revealed scriptures. In other words, the Uttama Adhikari described here preaches and acts as a spiritual master. So this description here is very external. It's not something internal. But, you know, he chants his rounds and preaches and he has understood the philosophy and can argue nicely. So, such a steady person is to be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari. Again, there's a difference between, and Prabhupada uses another term called Uttam Bhagavat. There's a difference between Uttam Adhikari and Uttam Bhagavat. And Uttam Bhagavat means someone who sees Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini. He sees equally everything. He doesn't even see any need of preaching. Here it says that the Uttam Adhikari is constantly preaching. But the Uttam Bhagavat sees that everyone is Krishna's devotee. In fact, they're better devotees than I am. And he sees like that. If he wants to preach, he has to come down to the Madhyam platform. There's a difference in meaning. Next. The advanced preacher is considered liberated because he never deviates from the principles of higher authority. Srila Prabhupada confirms this. A conditioned soul is hampered by four defects. He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to become illusioned. He has a tendency to cheat others and his senses are imperfect. Consequently, we have to take direction from liberated persons. This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of material nature. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, by my order, you may become a spiritual master. One can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by following his instructions. So, there's different things. First of all, someone recently, just today, the devotee wrote me a letter. We were having some discussion, and he challenged me. Can you tell me honestly that you are a liberated person? I don't see any liberated persons in ISKCON. Can you tell me honestly that you're a liberated person? So I wrote back and said, no, I'm not a liberated person, but I'm following Srila Prabhupada, and I expect that if I continue following, I will make advancement and I will achieve liberation. And even when I achieve liberation, and you ask me the same question, I'm going to give you the same answer. I'm not going to say I'm liberated. because I don't think I'm liberated. But I follow the order of my spiritual master, and I'm following the order of Lord Chaitanya. Then the other point is that some people say, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amaragya Guru Hai Kare Desh Jare Deva Kare Kahu Krishna Bhutte. You become guru, but that simply means a preacher. It doesn't mean that you should accept disciples. You become a spiritual master. But actually that's just double talk. It's just juggling of words. Because it's very clear that every one of us has a responsibility. Even when we preach to someone, we're giving them knowledge. And they take a little bit of shelter. And there's responsibility there. Prabhupada said the king takes 1/6 of the karma of the praja under him. And then someone asked him later on in another letter, I heard that you said the king takes 1/6, and Prabhupada said, why 1/6? And then he went on to explain how the leader takes all the dikshas of formality. Okay, next. A person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by his body, mind, and words, or even a person who is not practically engaged, but is simply desiring to be so, is to be considered liberated. Now there's a quote for you. A person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by his body, mind, and words. Okay, we can accept that. He's liberated. Okay. But even a person who is not practically engaged, but is desiring to be so, is considered to be liberated. Nectar of Devotion, chapter 11. In addition to the gradations of Uttam, Madhyam, and conditions based on faith, Shraddha, there are also gradations based on attachment and love, Rati, Prema for Krishna. For example, Rati, Prema, Paratmiye, Bhakta, Taratama, Ekadasa, Skande, Tarat, Kariyachi, Lakshana. A devotee is considered superlative and superior according to his attachment and love. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the following symptoms have been ascertained. Here the word uttama is used in relation to, but not exactly to eligibility or faith, but to love for Krishna. The symptoms of an uttam bhagavat are given. Now here's an uttam bhagavat. The next verse, have you got it? Okay. You have it. Sarva bhuteshu yah pashyet. I think you have to go back one. You just have to page up anyway. Is that Sarva Bhuteshu? Yeah. That's an Uttam Bhagavat. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of all souls. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, Krishna consequently sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in Him. There's another verse that says that the Uttam Bhagavat sees Krishna everywhere. He doesn't exactly see material forms, but he sees Krishna within everything. I can't imagine that vision. Neither I can explain it to you nor I can imagine it. But that's the description. The Uttam Bhagavat sees everyone in Krishna consciousness and he sees no need to preach. Okay. Next. The qualification of a spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments, and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Pretty clear. Next. Sanatana Goswami clearly defines the bona fide spiritual master. One must act according to the scriptural injunctions and at the same time preach. One who does so is a bona fide spiritual master. Haridas Thakur was the ideal spiritual master because he regularly chanted on his beast the described number of times. Indeed, he was chanting the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times a day. That's not 300,000 rounds, by the way. That's... 200 rounds or something. 198 rounds. Something like that. But still, that's a lot. How many of you chant 16? How many of you struggle with 16? Yeah, so just imagine 190 rounds or whatever it is. I know some devotees who chant all day long on Janmashtami and they get 64 done. Similarly, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement chant the minimum of 16 rounds a day, which can be done without difficulty. At the same time, they must preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to the gospel of Bhagavad Gita as it is. One who does so is quite fit to become a spiritual master of the entire world. Next. When a neophyte devotee is actually initiated and engaged in devotional service by the orders of the spiritual master, he should be accepted immediately as a bona fide Vaishnava, and obeisances should be offered unto him. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord, and strictly following all the regulated principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds of japa beads, and always thinking of how to spread Krishna conscious movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari, highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. So, you've got different kinds of definitions. We hear Nikunja Yuno, Ratikeli, Sidhyai, Yayalibir, the spiritual master is consulting with the gopis and making tasty arrangements for Krishna, and he's Sakshat Hari, and on the one hand. And then we have these very simple descriptions of Uttam Adhikari. So, how do we understand these things? Well, first of all, again, as I said, some things are quite inconceivable. I'm not trying to evade the issue, but we are offering prasadam to the deities. And there's no difference between making tasty arrangements for the deities and making tasty arrangements for Krishna. So, in one sense, there is a fulfillment there of Nikunja Yuno Rapikeli Siddhya. Because if we say that it's different, that this is actually, it doesn't count, it's just a sham, it's just a show, but actually we don't need it really. No, this is the same. Krishna is his deity. Krishna is not entering into the deity, but Krishna is his name. The name Krishna and Krishna, they are the same. There's no difference. So, the importance of initiation, the importance of a spiritual master is part of the science of helping the disciple to revive his dormant love of Krishna. And it's a process which is very much necessary. Okay, next. Ishware tadidineshu balisheshu drisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakkaroti samadhyama. An intermediate second class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality of God and is friendly to all devotees and is very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are in this devotional service. Next. As a function of giving mercy belongs specifically to Madhyam Bhagavat, the Madhyam Bhagavat is generally the one who becomes a preacher or spiritual master. Quote, the first class devotee does not at all see anyone who is not in the service of the Lord, but the second class devotee makes distinctions. So, the second class devotee, here you go, the second class devotee accepts disciples from the section of the third class devotees, or non-devotees. Sometimes the first class devotee also comes down to the category of the second class devotee for preaching work. So it's not the Uttama, we read in the beginning again that one should not become a spiritual master unless he attained the platform of Uttama Adhikari. Therefore, disciples should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as spiritual master. So we're thinking Uttam Bhagavat. We have to find someone who's Uttam Bhagavat. But we now understand that Uttam Adhikari means someone who is sincerely engaged and he's eligible to attain that topmost platform. But in reality, it's the Madhyam devotees who preach and who make distinctions who do accept disciples. We'll be also interested to know that formerly, very often, it was the householders who took disciples. The sannyasis were constantly traveling, preaching. You know, they flew in for one day and flew out. You know how it goes. And so they didn't, you know, the householders would take disciples because they could have an ongoing relationship with their disciples and chastise them regularly. But anyway, it's the Madhyam Adhikaris who accept devotees from the Kanista and give them initiation. Okay, next. Any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting holy name, Lord, should be considered to obtain the second level of Vaishnavism. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavat. Okay? Here the word Bhagavat is used. Which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between neophyte and perfect devotee. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name, and by chanting he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. When one realizes himself to be an external servant of Krishna, he loses interest in everything but Krishna's service. Always thinking of Krishna, devising means by which to spread the holy name of Krishna, he understands that his only business is in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person is to be recognized as an Uttam Adhikari, and his association should be immediately accepted. And be indeed, the advanced Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava devotee should be accepted as a spiritual master. Everything one possesses should be offered to him. To help us recognize the Uttam Adhikari, Srila Prabhupada describes his symptoms in the purport here. Srila Prabhupada gives similar descriptions of the Madhyam Bhagavat elsewhere in his books. In conclusion, the spiritual master is generally described as a Madhyam Bhagavat or as an Uttam Bhagavat come down to the Madhyam platform to preach. Then there's a whole section on Nishtha. Should the spiritual master at least be on the platform of Nishtha? Okay, you can go to the next quote. Okay, the prime symptom of one who has become a spiritual master in disciplic succession is he's 100% fixed in bhakti yoga. You can go to the next quote. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Now this is interesting. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to be considered a first-class Vaishnava. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada says, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says that someone who's constantly chanting the holy name should be considered on the second platform of Vaishnavism. So, although he's first class, but he's called a Madhyam Bhagavat. He's a first class devotee, but he's a Madhyam Bhagavat. And it says that an ordinary person should worship the Madhyam Bhagavat, who is a Vaya medium. What is the spiritual master? He's a transparent Vaya medium. Okay, next. Sometimes in the heart of... What's the next one you got there? What does it say? I don't know where you are. Oh, you're way behind me or something. Huh? Where are you? Sometimes in the heart of the neophyte, there's attraction for karma, jnana, yoga. When he is free and transcendental, the mixed devotional activity becomes a second-class devotee, Madhyam Bhagavat. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, the next verse, the next quote says basically that spiritual master who's practicing bhakti yoga, one should not see defects, but should see that he's engaged, his main business is devotional service. Okay, next quote. Now this is interesting. Nasta pray, this is from a lecture. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Not all cleansed, but praya. Say 75 cleansed. At that time you become fixed up in devotional service, naishtiki. There are different stages of devotional service. Shraddha, sadhu sange, bhajana kriya, anartha nirvritti syat. When anartha nirvritti syat, all unwanted things are finished. At that time, nishtha, or firm faith. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So long there are dirty things, our faith and devotion in Krishna is not very fixed up. Sometimes we deviate, we go away. But when nashta prayeshu, when 75% of the dirty things are cleansed, then our faith in God becomes fixed up. You're allowed to keep 25. So, the point is that we're making constant advancement if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And gradually, the dirty things are removed. And we're getting closer and closer to 100% pure. But it doesn't mean that we wait until the very end before we start acting in different responsible positions. If someone is at least, Prabhupada was saying, at least say 75%, or maybe 70, or maybe 80, you know, he's like, say 75, Prabhupada says, you know. Then he's fixed up and one can take guidance and shelter. Okay, next. If the guru is madhyama, how will the disciple be assured of sufficient guidance? Again, going back to the first one. Therefore, disciples should be careful to accept anuttamadhikari as spiritual master. Such disciples must be on the same platform, which should be understood they cannot advance very well towards the ultimate goal under his insufficient guidance. But here, Prabhupada says, generally the guru will help the disciple to progress step by step. The madhyam adhikari Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. Another quote. Everyone begins his devotional life in the neophyte stage, but if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds Harinam, he is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Uttam Adhikari. Next quote. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Next quote. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy on all living entities. And as soon as the living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him a chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a person is fortified both by Krishna and the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being. So when you take initiation into Krishna consciousness, you're not just getting a spiritual master, but you're getting much, much more. And most importantly, you're actually being directed and protected by Krishna. And you'll see in the next, let's see, okay, next. Where is it? Okay, we'll read the others, but there's one quote specifically I want. Next quote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sends his representative to impart his mercy. It is Krishna Prasad, Krishna's mercy, that he sends a bona fide spiritual master, the serving disciple. By the mercy of Krishna, one meets a bona fide spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple is fully trained in devotional service of the Lord. So it's that training which you're getting that's important. As soon as the Lord finds that a particular soul is very eager to go back to Godhead, the Lord at once sends his bona fide representative. The sincere devotee is thus assured by the Lord of going back to Godhead. Prabhupada is saying that any disciple, sincere disciple of any spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, he is assured of going back to Godhead, no matter what happens. Krishna makes that contract. Next quote. If one becomes a sincere devotee and seriously engages in devotional service, Lord Krishna sends an instructing spiritual master to show him favor and invoke his dormant propensity for serving the Supreme. Next quote. Shastra Guru Atma Rupi Apanare Janana Krishna Mora Prabhu Trata Jivara Hoya Gyan. The conditioned soul may take help from Shastra, Guru, and the Super Soul. Krishna is situated within everyone's heart as the Super Soul. As the Shakti Avesh Avatar Vyasadeva, Krishna teaches the conditioned soul through the Vedic literature. Krishna externally appears as the spiritual master. Thus the conditioned soul is always helped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in three ways. By the scriptures, the spiritual master, and the super soul within the heart. Now here's the point. The Lord is the deliverer of the conditioned soul. We are being delivered by Krishna. The spiritual master is simply Krishna's representative. But the actual work is being done by Krishna, and he takes charge of the life of the devotee, and he makes sure that sooner or later, the devotee goes back to Godhead. So we're never alone. We're never lost. Next quote says, the Siksha Diksha Guru who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service, like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. So, this is interesting. Even though the instructor is not as advanced. So it's possible that the disciple can be more advanced than the guru. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha. This is Prabhupada talking. Now, the next slide says, what may be the practical effect in the context of ISKCON of preaching that the disciple needs an Uttama Guru? Can a neophyte actually recognize the Uttam Bhagavat? The answer is no. And from the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, Kanista Adhikar cannot distinguish. So, anyway, what is the next slide? What does it say? Read it loud.
The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down.
Okay. So this is the confusion. That why do, first of all, we used to wonder, why do these Uttam Adhikaris fall down? What's going on here? They're supposed to be, you know, Nitya Siddha, whatever it is. Then when we lowered them down to Madhyam, and still some fell down, now we're faced, well, why did this Madhyam fall down? But here we can see the Prabhupada says that the Madhyam Adhikari does not fall down, but especially the Uttam Adhikari does not fall down. So he's leaving a little room there that every one of us, if we're not careful, spiritual life is like shaving with a razor. And we are to toss the Shakti eternally. We are potentially, we were in the spiritual world with Krishna and we left. How did that happen? How did we fall from the spiritual world where there's no envy? Somehow or other, we misused our independence. It happened. So at any time, it is possible for anyone. Now, if you want, you can just try to go to Krishna directly. Prabhupada says in the Shastra, there's a quota. It's in either in one of his lectures or in a darshan, but he says that you can go to Krishna just by chanting Hare Krishna. You don't need a spiritual master if you chant Hare Krishna purely. But hardly anyone could actually achieve that perfection in that way. Therefore, you have to, definitely you have to associate with devotees, and you have to try to follow Krishna's instruction. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariparshanena sevaya. And of course there are other verses that say abhigacha, it must be done. So you have to take some risk. The spiritual master is also taking risk with the disciple. The disciple, there are more disciples fall down than spiritual masters. Of course there are more disciples than spiritual masters, but it's a risk both ways. We generally hope, and we should create in our society, we should protect our leaders. We should create situations where they're never tempted. They say about the law, that the laws are there to keep honest people honest. In other words, it doesn't, that the saying is not that everybody's a bunch of cheaters and therefore we have laws to keep them in line. The saying is, basically we give people the benefit of the doubt. They would be honest as long as they're not tempted. If you put temptation in front of them, if they can avoid taxes and get away with it, we won't do it. You know. But basically, if you explain to people that taxes are needed for building roads, etc., and you have a good tax department that, you know, follows up and the laws are there, then most sensible people will pay their taxes. They'll try to get exemptions, whatever they can, but they'll follow the rules. So the laws are there to keep honest people honest. So we need more help in keeping everybody in the society. We need counselors for householders so that they can follow the regulative principles. Illicit sex means having sex more than once a month. That's a difficult regulation to follow for most nuclear family householders. You know, nuclear family where you're alone in the house with your wife all day long and all night long, and you've got no aunts or uncles or grandmothers, or, you know, there's no big family system, and, you know, you just see each other all day long, and I don't know how many people follow perfectly. But if you have a counselor system where every householder has someone that they can meet and talk about their problems, and, you know, gee, I've got this problem. Oh, really? I have that problem too. Oh, I'm not alone? Yeah, let's see if we can't work out some system where we can get stronger. Or for brahmacharis, they also need some help and encouragement and guidance. Or for sannyasis. Sannyas is the loneliest path. And guru, hey, nobody can talk to him. He's, you know, God's representative. Who's going to tell him? But he needs, he's a person, he needs to talk to someone. So, hopefully we'll get better and better at this. As I said, it's new to us. Guru Tattva is a Chintya Shakti, and It's an important point, a part of our spiritual lives, and we're learning more and more about it and making bhakti. Vinod Thakur said that progress is a series of adjustments in the right direction. That's progress. Making adjustments as you understand them, going in the right direction towards Krishna. So we're trying, we're making adjustments and trying to get better and better at what we're doing. I can't say it all in an hour and a half or whatever we've been discussing. There's so much. But this is just some ideas I had, and I wanted to share them with you more than just saying that the spiritual master has to be worshipped like God. So do it. Giving a little bit more explanation, especially in light of over the last year or so, we've had some difficult times and difficult things to understand. So, is there any further discussions or questions? Good. You can turn the projector off, basically. Does anybody have any questions at all? Yeah?
One is an intercede
and one is one who can understand. So I'm wondering if then it's not important whether you choose an spiritual master who's an intercede or a spiritual master who can work with an spiritual one in the universe. If you can point out the Nityasiddha to me, we'll both go and meet him. But it's not so easy to tell. As I said, Neophyte devotee has a hard time discriminating because all the descriptions that are given in the Shastra deal with external symptoms. And specifically, Prabhupada used to quote Bhaktisiddhanta and here all the quotes we read were about the spiritual master being a preacher. And Bhaktisiddhanta said that we can recognize a preacher by how many books he distributes, how many temples he opens, and how many people he brings to Vaishnavism. So those are like external things, numerical things. So to really understand who has developed internal love of Krishna is not so easy, and even it perhaps should not be overly considered, because like Prabhupada, people would approach Prabhupada and say, "Can you show me God?" And Prabhupada would say, "Yes, but if I show you, will you accept it? Do you have the eyes to see?" So someone may say, well, and some people are saying that, "I don't see anyone," some of my God brothers, "I don't see anyone in this town who's liberated." But we just read so many quotes of people who definitely fit in that category. And even said that someone who's not liberated but who's following the instructions of a liberated person should be considered liberated. So you should use your intelligence and carefully study the scripture and search for a pure devotee, and to the best of your ability, choose the best pure devotee that you can find that's available. And as your relationship grows and you understand more and more about him, then you'll have a better idea, perhaps. But again, whether he's a Nitya Siddha or he's a Sadhan Siddha or he's endeavoring to become a Sadhan Siddha, they have the same potential to take him back to Godhead. Yes. I didn't. What about the 12th chapter?
Bhagavad Gita, because there is Krishna is saying, describing his dear to him.
Yes. One preaches. He's very, very dear to me. Teaches this message of Bhagavad Gita to the devotees, is very dear to me. So, what's your question?
There is a lot of verses about describing about the person, the qualities of the person who is there.
Yes, so you study those qualities, and then you try to use your intelligence to find someone who has imbibed those qualities or represents those qualities. Any other questions? Okay. Maybe this is not exactly the form for questions. I'm sure there are questions. Yeah.
You said that Diksha is not so important as other than Shiksha is more important than Diksha, just
a formality.
Formality, I think, as well. Can you explain?
Well, Prabhupada said it on a couple of occasions. He said, one boy came to get initiated from Detroit, and Prabhupada was having a discussion with him, and the boy was asking, kept asking about Diksha, and Prabhupada said, don't worry, I will initiate you. That is just a formality. We are, the essence of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is to hear about Krishna, Krishna Katha, to hear the philosophy and the science of Krishna. That's what cleanses our heart. And we have one Diksha Guru, but we can have many Siksha Gurus. Now, generally, our Diksha Guru is also one of our important Siksha Gurus. Otherwise, why did we accept him as a Diksha Guru? We can accept anyone. There's no one who's not eligible if he's a member in good standing. So, you can accept anyone as your Siksha Guru, or anyone as your Diksha Guru, so naturally, your relationship should be based on Siksha. But you also, Srila Prabhupada is your main, primary Siksha Guru. We all get everything from Srila Prabhupada. He's our connection to the disciplic succession. He will always remain, just as Jesus Christ is the founder acharya of the Christian religion. There's the Old Testament, but they don't go past Jesus because he's like the, he came to the West and, you know, whatever. He's the founder acharya, and Srila Prabhupada's our founder acharya. He's our main Siksha Guru. And of course we have so many books of his and so many tapes and instructions. The whole structure of our institution is based on his work. So he remains very important. So the idea is, and here's something also, in relationship, there are two kinds of people who might have difficulty. There's one person who is, he makes a choice, a sane choice to deviate. He's either envious of Prabhupada or in some way offensive, and he's ambitious and he goes away, or he breaks the regulative principles on purpose or at least knowingly and fall down. He's no longer qualified to give siksha. But then there's another category of someone who may suffer some injury or some illness, and he's not at all in the same category as the first person. He's, in fact, they call it diminished responsibility. He's not responsible for his actions because by Krishna's arrangement he has some health problem and we have to treat both cases differently. It's not the same thing. Srila Prabhupada died from a kidney problem. So shall we say that Prabhupada is not a pure devotee because he had a kidney problem? Is that evidence that Prabhupada wasn't a pure devotee? The Ganges water is pure, but sometimes people stir up the bottom and it gets all muddy. Does that mean it's lost its purity? No. So there may be circumstances by which we have to be very careful how we act. Any other questions? Yes.
Can you ask God Himself, your master,
yes?
The master?
And you can do that. Krishna is the only spiritual master. But He does say in the Bhagavad Gita, which He spoke, He does say that I come down through parampara, evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. Sakali neyamata yoga nashta parandata. Imam vivasate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. Vivishan manave kaha manur ikshvatave bravid. Formerly I instructed the science of God to Vivaswan, the sun god. He instructed it to Manu, Manu, like that. It came down through the saintly kings. In the course of time, that was broken. The teaching was lost. So I've again come to reestablish the parampara. This is the way I want you to learn. He says, if you're not satisfied with that, you can, you know, put in a request to have direct connection. Might cost a little more, but I don't know. You know, like ISDN, you can get an ISDN on. It's possible, but highly unlikely. Krishna's too busy enjoying with the gopis and the goddesses of fortune to give direct connection to everyone. He does things by delegation. That's why he's the supreme personality, the supreme CEO. He's perfect in every way. And he likes to see his devotees glorified. He's more pleased, just like a rich man is more pleased when you... I see it all the time. You know, I was just out walking today, and some parents had their little child, and I was walking by and I was watching, and some other person was playing with their little child and making the child laugh, and the parents were standing on the side and they were very pleased that this person was making their little child happy. So Krishna is very pleased when you make his little child happy, when you serve the spiritual master, when you serve his devotee. So you can try and avoid all that, but it's possible. Any other questions? Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.